Would you please turn to Matthew chapter 5, continuing to look at these Beatitudes, and I'm not going to do them in order, only because some are harder than others to work out. So we're going to look at what we read here in verse 9, where the Lord Jesus says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." So tonight we're looking at the peacemakers. There's a lot of talk about peace, isn't there, in this world? Everybody wants peace in one form or another. Alicia asked me a few days ago what I wanted for my birthday, and I told her world peace. I don't know if she's capable of doing that or not. I don't think so. So everyone wants peace. Hear it in the news. If you're old enough, you would be able to picture those long-headed hippies with placards always protesting against war and wanting peace. Maybe some of you were in those little gatherings, you older ones. I don't know. We know of Greenpeace. They're a little bit quieter these days, but traveling around the world, protesting against various things, wanting peace. Peacemakers, peace, not war, peace with nature, peace with each other, world peace. Are these people the true peacemakers in the world, though? Is that what the Lord Jesus is talking about here when he says, "Blessed are the peacemakers"? Is that what we as Christians should be doing? Should we have a green peace boat travelling around? Should we be protesting outside particular venues with placards saying that we need peace? Should we be joining in? Is this the peace that Jesus wants us to be promoting? Well, that's what we're going to be looking at this evening. We're going to look at the topic of peacemaking, and we certainly won't finish this evening, but we're going to look this evening at what biblical peace is and also what it isn't. It's very important to know what it isn't as well, so when we make sure that we're wanting the right type of peace, because there's all different types of peace, as we know. Should we be jumping on Greenpeace's boat and travelling around with them, or have we missed the mark? You know, in the New Testament, there are actually five Greek words that are translated peace. They all have different meanings, and it's important to know what they are, because only one of these Greek words is used in Matthew chapter 5, and it's the one that really counts. Let me turn over to Luke chapter 20, would you? We find one of the Greek words that are used. Luke chapter 20. There's a Greek word. The Greek word is sigao, and it means a voluntary silence. In Luke chapter 20 and verse 26, we read, "And they could not take hold of his words before the people, and they marveled at his answer and held their peace." Basically, we see here that they held their peace, meaning they kept their mouth shut. They said, "We've got nothing to say to this guy, and so we're just going to keep our mouth shut." And so it's a voluntary silence. Now, that's not the Greek word that's used here for "blessed are the peacemakers." The Lord isn't telling us to keep our mouth shut so that we don't cause problems. All right. He's not saying bite your tongue to keep the peace, like some people think we should. Just don't say anything and keep the peace. That's not what he's meaning. There's another word. I won't look up a reference, but it's siopao, and it's the inability to speak. You're lost for words. All right, you got nothing to say, and I guess when you're at work sometimes and people ask you a question about the Lord, you feel like you're creating that sort of peace. You're lost for words. And so everything's peaceful, I guess. There's another word. Turn over to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. This was a time when there was a man that had demons within him. And this is what the Lord says to him. Mark chapter 1, verse 24. Saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." Another word that's translated peace. This means to muzzle someone. And so Jesus got the evil spirits to keep quiet. He muzzled them. But this isn't used in Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. And so we're not told to go around muzzling people to bring about peace. I'm sure when the kids are running around and they're all noisy, you want to bring peace that way. You just want to muzzle them, all right, just to stop the noise. Now, that may be okay for the family. You can muzzle your children if you want, one way or another. But that's not what Jesus is saying. He wants us to be these type of peacemakers. There's another Greek word as well, which is really hard to pronounce, but it means to keep still or to refrain from labor, meaning you just chill out. You just let the world go by. It could be going crazy around you, but you're in your little world of peace. A lot of dads do that, you know. The children could be tearing the whole house apart, but they're in their little world of peace, right? And not oblivious to what's going on around them. And this is often what the Hindus would like to promote, this type of peace. Just be at one with the world, just relax and chill and not worry about anything. But this word isn't used as well. Now the Greek word eirene is used. And this is the type of peace that Jesus wants us to be making in this world. And so what does the word eirene mean? Well, let me quote a Greek scholar by the name of Zodiates. He says, "Eirene is harmony and peace of mind, tranquility arising from reconciliation with God and a sense of divine favor." So if you pull that apart, he's saying it is peace, that tranquility of mind and life. But why do you have that? Because you are reconciled with God and you are enjoying divine favor. It's like God comes to you and he wraps his arms around you and he brings peace. You're enjoying divine favor from him. It is to enjoy God's blessing as a result of truth and righteousness in your life. You know, when Israel was at peace, it was because they were right with God and he was protecting them. When the nation of Israel was not at peace and there was troubles, it was because they had lost the blessing of God upon them. And that's what this word means. The equivalent is the Hebrew word shalom. And that's what a Hebrew person will say when they meet someone else, shalom. And that, when you're saying this is what they're meaning, may you have all the blessings and goodness God can give you. And so it's to do with enjoying goodness from God. And that's the type of peace that Jesus says he wants us to be making in this world. It's not a peace that's from muzzling people, shutting everyone up so they can't say anything. You know, that's the type of peace that often happens when there's two countries at war. One overtakes the other one, and then there's no more war. There's peace. And that's because one has taken over the other and basically muzzled or controlled them. There's peace, but it's not like righteousness is reigning at that stage. Jesus says, I don't want peace as a result of muzzling people. I don't want peace as a result of you keeping your mouth shut and not saying anything. I don't want peace as a result of you chilling out and just relaxing and not doing anything in this world and tuning out to your problems. No, I want peace that comes when righteousness is exalted. That's the type of peace he wants. You see, if it'll only be when righteousness reigns that we will truly have peace in our world, in our society, in our families, in our church. It's not going to come about because of Greenpeace or the United Nations, because they don't even want the same type of peace that God wants. They want peace without God. And the reality is that's impossible. True peace is impossible without God. That's why when you listen to people on the news and the radio and they say, we just want peace, everyone to come together united and we all be one. It can't happen without God. It's impossible. Turn over to 1 Corinthians, would you? 1 Corinthians. This is why it can't happen without God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33, we read this. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. God is the author of peace. Who thought up peace? God. Who creates peace? God creates peace. We won't turn there, but in Philippians chapter 4, verse 9, we're told that He is the God of peace. There are so many people running around wanting peace, but true peace can never be found unless God is the author of it. Without God, without the God of peace, without the author of peace, it'll never be found. And what that means is, if we want peace in our heart, we need to be reconciled to God. And He needs to be the one that is reigning. Like what we looked at this morning about how Paul desired peace to be upon those brethren. And how does that come about? Through peace with God, through the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have turmoil in your heart now and there's no peace within you, it's because you need to get something settled with God. That's where true peace is found as an individual. If we want peace in our family, well then it is through righteousness reigning where a family does what God wants. That's where peace is found. If we want peace in our society, peace in our world, then it will only come when people are made righteous and they live righteously. No other way. You know, there's another little beautiful verse talking about peace in Hebrews chapter 7. Would you please turn over there? Hebrews chapter 7. This is talking about when Abraham met Melchizedek, who was a type of the Lord Jesus, and the names of Melchizedek, which are the names of the Lord Jesus himself. But have a look in verse 2 of chapter 7. To whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. Here we see the two names of the Lord, or two of the names of the Lord Jesus. King of righteousness, King of peace. What we see here is when righteousness reigns, peace reigns as well. They go together. And that's why there won't be peace in this world until the King of peace reigns in righteousness upon our world, and that's in the millennium. And this is the same wherever peace is sought. Righteousness must reign. And this is important for us to know, because when we know what type of peace Christ wants us to have and what type of peace he wants us to make, it shows that often the peace that we are seeking or trying to make or going about trying to make is completely wrong. Often what we seek as peace isn't the peace God wants. Let's look at some ways or wrong types of peace that we often settle for as peace. For example, peace isn't just the absence of conflict. All right? We often think there's no conflict, so there's peace. But that's not what Jesus is interested in. Jesus says there's only true peace when righteousness reigns. All right? For example, you can come to a church and it's true, after the service, people aren't there arguing with one another and they're not hitting each other in the head and there's not conflict. And you could say, that church is at peace with each other. But unless righteousness reigns where we're living righteously, there is no real peace. People could be angry with that person, but they're just keeping their mouth shut about it, bitter about that person, upset with that person. They've got all these bad thoughts, but there may be the absence of conflict, but there's not real peace. You see, Jesus wants us to be true peacemakers, where we do things God's way. You know, you could say in North Korea, there is peace in that place. Would be a wonderful place to live. No one says anything bad about the government. No one fights or there's no upheaval. What a beautiful place to be. No conflict. Yeah, but they're all miserable. All right? There's not real peace because everybody is muzzled. And if they step out of the line, they're killed. That's not peace. Yet that's sometimes what we do. We just want to shut everyone down. We don't let anyone say anything. We just have everyone controlled, maybe in our home or wherever it may be, and we think there's peace because no one's saying anything bad. That's not peace. You know, sadly, you have some marriages where the husband and wife will stay together for the children's sake. They're not happy with each other. They may even hate each other. But there's no conflict. They muzzle themselves. All right, there's a voluntary silence to keep the peace. But the reality is that's not the peace that God is interested in a family. He wants a family where righteousness reigns and there is true peace. And until things are resolved properly and the Lord is honored in every area of the life, there's not going to be peace in that family or in our world or in a church, wherever. We shouldn't be seeking to simply stop fights to bring peace. We need to seek righteousness. Now, there's another type of peace that we so often settle for, which is similar, but it is different. And that is where we compromise. There's that voluntary silence to keep the peace. I will just keep my mouth shut in order to keep the peace. Have you ever thought that? Well, we know that a voluntary silence isn't the peace that Jesus is talking about. Now, I'm not saying this is never the right way to go about it. I suspect there are times when a voluntary silence is the best thing. If your wife comes home with a different hairstyle that you don't like, I suspect a voluntary silence is the best way to keep peace. All right? But there are a lot of times where that's not what God's interested in. There needs to be something more. See, the Lord wants people to get saved. He wants people to live righteously so that they can then enjoy His blessings. And if we don't tell people what the gospel, if we don't tell people what God says they should be doing in this matter, and we don't do it because we don't want conflict, we're not actually bringing about the peace that God really wants us to bring. And this is probably one of the The worst places where this happens is in churches. You know, we need to be ones who stand against sin and stand for righteousness. Yet so often, people think, no, I will say nothing and keep the peace. There are many liberals, I am sure, wish that this beatitude would read, blessed are they who let people enjoy their sin to keep the peace. That's the way they think. Or blessed are they who surrender and let sin have its way so there's no conflict. But Jesus isn't saying this. He's saying, blessed are they who direct people to God's way so there can be righteousness and they can enjoy God's blessings upon them. Can righteousness make peace with evil? Of course not. We're told that there can be no communion with light and darkness, that there is no concord with Christ and Belial. They don't make peace with one another. They can't work together side by side. There will be one or the other, but they cannot coexist. And we need to make sure that we are peacemakers in the sense we direct people to God and His ways. You know, a little while back, it's a number of years back now, I think, and it's just got worse. I was listening to a radio station and they were talking about a particular bishop in the Anglican Church in Australia. And these commentators were praising the efforts of this man for his pursuit to bring about unity and peace in the Anglican Church. Now that sounds great. He's a peacemaker. That's what they said. This man is a real peacemaker in the Anglican Church. And they went on to praise him for his loving attitude in allowing homosexual ministers. And they said this was a wonderful thing that he was doing. And they said, you know, the best thing about this man is he doesn't get up the front, hold out the Bible and say, brethren, the answers are found here. No, he doesn't do that. No, he says, brethren, the answers are found within us. Look into your heart to find the answer. He's saying, look at that wicked, deceitful heart to find the answer. That's what he's really saying. And they praised him for this. They said that he was doing a wonderful job of being a peacemaker in the Anglican Church. Now, if I could have ripped my radio out at that stage, I think I would have, because I was furious. Because that is the complete opposite to what God is saying. See, the real answer there is to have peace in the Anglican Church or in any church or the Christian church, the true church, is that we go to the Word of God and see what God says He wants us to be doing and we do that. And then we can be united in truth, and so we all are at one. And we can also enjoy God's blessing upon us for doing what honours Him. That's when there are true blessings. You know, it's no point being united in error. That doesn't bring the blessings of God. You might bring the praise of man, but you don't bring the blessings of God upon you. You know, there was the Archbishop, I think, at that time, I don't know if he still is, was Bishop Jensen. And praise God, this man was against what this other bishop was talking about. And he was saying, no, this is, God says this is wrong. These commentators were branding him as a troublemaker in the church. This man doesn't want peace. He's causing trouble. Can you see how that's how the world thinks? That's worldly thinking. And sometimes even Christians, we fall into that. Hey, you saying this is wrong and sin and you need to forsake it and repent, you're just causing trouble. No, we need to seek what God wants and direct people to what God wants so we can live in harmony in God's ways and enjoy His blessings. You know, don't ever brand someone who says, that's just keep our mouths shut and just let everyone do what they think is best. God will judge them and let's not cause any problems. Just forget everything that anyone's doing. and we just love each other, don't think that's a peacemaker. A peacemaker is someone who says, hey, God says this is wrong. Or God says we should be doing this. We need to forsake our sin. We need to seek righteousness and obey God. That's a peacemaker. You know, when we read, when Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers. So often we take one of those wrong things, don't we? We think, yes, we need to be peacemakers. We need to just muzzle ourselves, keep our mouths shut, a voluntary silence, and don't say anything about what people are doing that's wrong. That's not a peacemaker. Or we just ignore everything, chill out like the Hindus want us to do, and we'll just see what God does. No, that's not what God wants us to do as a peacemaker. Let's just muzzle everybody else. We won't muzzle ourselves. We'll just muzzle everybody else. And keep anyone who wants to say anything about God's word and what's wrong and what's right, we'll keep them quiet. That's not being a peacemaker. The only peace that God is interested in is the peace when righteousness reigns. And he says, I will bless you if you will be someone who will seek my ways and seek to encourage others to do things my way as well, so righteousness may reign. And there is a blessing to this. He says, if you do this, well, then you will be called the children of God. There are merits to being a peacemaker. Next Sunday night, we'll look at the merits of being a peacemaker. But tonight, I trust you've learnt what a peacemaker is and what a peacemaker isn't. Which one are you at the moment? Here, in your home, in our society, what sort of peacemaker are you really? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that, Lord, you have given us your word so we can know what is truly wrong or right. Lord, we don't have to look within to try and find what's wrong and right. We can look into your word. We have, Lord, a standard set for us that we can build our lives upon. And I pray that we would have a desire to direct those who are unsaved and know not you and righteousness doesn't reign in their heart, that we would speak up and show them that they can find peace with God. I pray that, Lord, we will love each other enough to show each other when we aren't living in a righteous manner so that we could have peace within us. And Lord, I pray that as a local church we will seek to do things in a manner, our motives, our methods will be in a manner that is pleasing to you, that righteousness may reign amongst us. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.